Donald Trump has a new slogan. Let's check it out. He's just released it. Too big to rig. 2024. Then I was worried about Trump, about his, is he worried about money? And we're talking like $500 million they just took out of your pocket. Trump says, don't worry about it. I mean, this is an interesting week, folks. Nikki Haley finally wins big in D.C. You're going to love what Bill Maher and Dr. Phil bring, a little bit of electricity and sparks. And we've got two professors that'll convince you. These two white professors will convince you white people are a problem. You don't want to miss today's show. By the way, a friend of mine just gave me some information. He's a banker from the Middle East. And he said, you should feel really encouraged by what you're telling people. I said, why? He said, if you're talking about gold, have you looked at it in the last 6 months? He said, since October, it's gone up like 12%, like $200 or $300 in value, $220 or something like that. I went back and checked it out. And indeed, looking at the numbers since last year, March to this year, I think we're looking like a 12% increase in the value, and it's even growing faster in the last 4 months. What does it tell me? I've been on the right track. I feel good about what I'm telling you to do. I'm changing up where I'm directing you right now for this particular broadcast. Go to lancewalnow.com/gold. That's a new one, lancewalnow.com/gold. Why there? Because a bunch of you I've run into this say, hey, listen, I don't have a lot to invest, but look, a little bit of peace of mind goes a long way. If you can put some of your IRA, some of your assets, and allocate them into that which is going to be 11, 15% more valuable than the time you put it in, where else can you do that? You can do that with the right connections. I want to connect with the right people. LanceWalnow.com/gold. Please take action. Go get my report. Read what I'm writing, and you'll have peace of mind. Let's get into today's show. God bless you. It's hard to believe that we're already on another show. For those of you that are coming back from Real America's Voice, welcome back. For those of you that are with me now for the first part of today's show, Mercedes Sparks is right here by my side. I'm going to cover a couple of quick tweets. We can't call them X's. I'm not sure that Elon thought this thing through. We can call Twitter tweets.
Yeah.
But what do you call an excerpt from X?
An excerpt's kind of good, but like X post. An X post.
See how you're struggling for it? It's not quite on the tip of the tongue yet, is it?
No, it's not.
So let's go to the latest tweet on X. Speaker Mike Johnson says, and Mercedes will read it to you for the podcast world.
He says, today, the U.S. Supreme Court affirmed that we all knew, the Colorado Supreme Court.
Why do you have me in the box instead of
her? I was just wondering that.
Thank you, guys. Let's wake up back there, producer. All right, keep going, Mercedes. Sorry for you on the podcast.
All right, let's get a
my face.
Running
I
start.
Get a lot of grief in this studio for being like alpha dominant and irritable sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I can't explain it. I think it's
sometimes.
So
did you watch the latest Larry David episode though?
It
was so funny.
What makes the Curb Your Enthusiasm funny for you?
Because it's you. Because it's literally you. Like, there was a lady who was converting to Judaism, and Larry's like, it's great to hear you're prepared to complain a lot. And she's like, I can complain with the best of them. And I thought, that's Lance.
Well, that is that's a characteristic of my
particular
bloodline.
Here we go. And today, we're getting a running start with Speaker Mike Johnson. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court affirmed what we all knew. The Colorado Supreme Court engaged in a purely partisan attack against the frontrunner of the Republican presidential primary. States engaging in the same activist, undemocratic behavior should take notice and leave it to the American people to decide who will be the president.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you can't just have some local goofball panel of your favorite progressive judges that get elected from some, a cluster of counties that are all, you know, wanting to legalize drugs and, you know, defund the police and then block a president from a national election because they don't like them. They're saying you can't do that at a local level. It's a federal election. Now, by the way, you can challenge your own state representatives. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, it's a nutty thing, But they could take someone off the ballot in the state, but you can't do it with a federal election. That was an interesting distinction the Supreme Court made in the ruling on Trump, 9-0. Doug Collins on X says that Trump has never been charged as an insurrectionist. Just so everyone is clear, this congressman says Trump has never been charged as an insurrectionist. He's never been convicted as an insurrectionist. He's never committed insurrection. The truth matters, and comments like this are the actual misinformation we should be worrying about, because the Democrats are all saying Trump is an insurrectionist. He inspired an insurrection, but he didn't. But that doesn't stop certain people like this congressman from annoying us. Would you please read, for us what this Jamie Raskin of Maryland says?
The Supreme Court did not find that he wasn't an insurrectionist. The Supreme Court did not find that he did not participate in insurrection, from Representative Jamie Raskin. He recently said this in an interview on Monday. The Supreme Court just kicked the whole thing over to Congress, saying that's Congress needs to act.
Now, what Jamie Raskin, that rascal Raskin, is doing, that rascally Raskin, that Rasputin of distortion, is doing, is he is misdirecting. The Supreme Court wasn't there to hear the charge of insurrection, which, in fact, if insurrection was meat on the menu, Jack Smith would have already been pursuing it, but he dropped it. You know why? He shrewdly saw that that doesn't have much substance, so he didn't put that in his Supreme Court case. So if the lead prosecutor who is taking Trump down said, the insurrection argument's a little weak, Jamie Raskin, do your dang homework. Let's go to video 4. 27 seconds of Trump's new slogan.
Now. But until then, Republicans must win. We want a landslide. We have to win. We have to win so that it's too big to rig. Too big to rig.
Too big to rig.
Too big to rig.
I like that.
I like it.
That landed well. I don't know if he made that up or if somebody wrote that
for
him.
No, somebody had to write that for him, but, you know, he smiled when he said it. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think that's a good campaign slogan?
I like that a lot. Too big to rig.
Well, you know why it's good for him? Because it gratifies his sense of preoccupation with the fact that the last election was stolen. Everybody says, just move on. And he can't, because if it was stolen, then he says, why would you move on? I mean, that's a huge part of the story of the American journey. Don't let it get stolen again. Yeah. But nobody really wants to hear that. Please play for us video 5 as we keep on moving down the video trail here.
Foreign policy. Let's bring it domestic for a second. I know in about 2 or 3 weeks with your court cases, if I'm going to believe what I read in the decisions, you have to come up with something like $400 million. How close are you to securing the bond, or what you need for that?
I have a lot of money. I could do what I want to do, but this was a horrible, illegal decision. This was a decision made up by a crooked judge, 100% crooked clubhouse judge, a disgrace with a equally crooked attorney general who campaigned on I will get Trump. And we're appealing that decision, and we'll see how we do. But I'll tell you what, people are leaving New York. Businesses are fleeing New York because of that decision. They used a statute to go after me that was never used before.
So you're not
never
worried?
Never used before.
You're not worried about the money?
I don't worry about anything. I don't worry about the money. I don't worry about money.
Mr. President.
I'm comforted in an odd way that I'm not worried about money. You know, and truly, Truth Social got evaluated. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, looks like Trump's up like $2 billion on Truth Social in terms of the value of the social media company.
Yep.
Which is why he could say, you know, I'm not worried about money. But still, his kids, I mean, I don't know what they're going to be doing with Eric and Donnie. I mean, they went after them too, by the way.
Yeah.
They went after the children for like $3 million, $2 million, $4 million, $1 million. They went after them.
Well, you know, Donnie just had the letter sent to his house too with like the white powder in it.
Yeah, that's another issue. Like, I mean, these guys are like, in the price they pay to have to be doing this. This is pathetic. I want to cover something else, which is kind of a brief flyover here. But Nikki Haley Everybody noticed. Put up the image 8. Washington, D.C. Republican primary election results. Nikki Haley wins the Washington, D.C. Republican primary. She got 1,279 votes, more than Donald Trump or DeSantis, only got 38. How he even got 38, I don't know. No. But she took in 62.9%. Now, can you tell me offhand, Mercedes, can Democrats vote? Is Washington, D.C. able to have Democrats vote?
That's a great question. In the primaries?
Yeah. Is it kind of like New Hampshire, where they could show up and say, I'm voting for Nikki Haley?
I really don't know, but it makes me think about the – I'm looking it up now, but it makes me think about when we went to the voting booth the other day. And there's one line for Republicans here in Texas, and there's one line for Democrats. The wait for Republicans was an hour and 15 minutes. The Democrat line was like 3 minutes. Walk right in. No wait at all.
I have to say I felt a little embarrassed because that was the situation for me. I go to vote, and I felt like, you know, you want to go over you wonder if they draw straws for who works which.
Yeah.
Like, hey, listen, we're just precinct people. You could Republican, Democrat. We just kind of like, but I could see in our county, clearly the Republicans were busy.
Well, I was proud of all those Republicans standing there in line. Oh, man. And then the election judge came out. There's a lady behind me with a Let's Go Brandon shirt on. And he made her flip her shirt inside out because it was like a political statement. And I was like, how do you know she's just not a huge NASCAR fan? Like, how do you know?
You know what?
That it was slang.
That's all possible.
I know.
That's interesting. I wasn't aware. I didn't even look at what I was wearing. So.
Oh yeah, you can't go with any shirts.
You can't go
on.
With a MAGA hat on, I guess.
No, can't even wear that type of stuff.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Crazy?
Well, BLM shirts. I know they wore in Detroit.
That's
a friend of mine
that
was really
too.
Bothered by the fact that they were all wearing these BLM shirts.
Then you should be able to wear a Let's Go Brandon shirt if you can wear a BLM shirt.
I know that. That's what you say here, but in Michigan, they might maybe have a different situation.
The lady said she was undecided.
Hey, put up an image 11. I want to go somewhere real quick, so I don't want to lose this really cool idea. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on this nation. I'm talking about El Salvador. Because every last trace of gender ideology has been removed from the school and the classrooms. Crime is down, remarkably, and the economy is up. The same in Argentina, it's beginning to happen. The same in Hungary, and it's been that way. So what does that mean? These are nations we call sheep nations. In the Bible, they're the nations that are upholding certain values and traditions that prosper and flourish a culture. And so, El Salvador, I tip my hat to you. Keep getting rid of every trace of gender ideology and watch how your children are healthier. We'll be right back. America is in an absolute crisis, and destiny is going to be determined over the next couple of months. And guess what? You are going to be a participant in shaping what happens in America. I want to invite you to the call to courage. Courage is contagious. Persecution is not something that you should ever let keep you from preaching or proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Go to thecouragetour.com where you can join Mario Morello and me in an explosive experience where the power of God, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to be experienced by thousands of people just like you, looking for the move of God and believing that God can save America. Mario, what are your thoughts about the Courage Tour?
It is a divine strategy. God has chosen locations that will directly affect the election. This is going to stave off the corruption we had in the last round because it's going to be a supernatural event. Whenever Lance and I have worked together, whenever we've teamed up, it's like the old adage, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. What God does in our events together is amazing. This one is taking one event that was successful on its own, another event that was successful on its own, and blending them together. That's why the Courage Tour should never happen without you. If you love America, if you believe in the supernatural power of God, if you ever said, I believe that revival is coming, then you've committed yourself to be a part of this great miracle that's unfolding. Go and register at the website right now.
TheCourageTour.com. TheCourageTour.com. Yeah. We're focusing on 7 battleground states, 19 key counties, and we need you to join us. God bless you. Welcome back to the Lance Well Now Show with Mercedes Sparks. I got abused for that unenthusiastic Mercedes Sparks introduction a minute ago. All right, look, I got my earpiece in here. That means we're going to do some ear thing. By the way, Washington, D.C. Republican primary election results. My team has given us information. Bring back that image, will you please, Mr. Producer? Thank you. Nikki Haley has 1,279 votes against Donald Trump. She beat Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. 62.9% to 33. What does that tell you, people?
There's only 2,000 Republicans in D.C. that are voting? That's not a lot at all.
Hey, look up the population in Washington, D.C.
Will, look it up.
It tells you two things. One, 98% of Washington, D.C. is Democrat. How in the world can you take Trump there and put him on trial for anything? How can you take these so-called insurrectionists and put them on trial for anything in D.C.? Get the heck out of D.C. They should shut it down as a platform for any kind of a political issue.
So 712,000 as of 2020 census.
So if we have 712,000 people, divide it by 2,035 divided by 712,000. This will give you the percent. For those of you that ever worked with numbers, if you take 2,035 divided by 712,000, it'll tell you exactly what percentage of 712,000 is 2,035.
All right. But
and the number is, I know, but that's just 0.002. Ding, 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 ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just saying that's like what they voted. That's who voted.
I'm telling
that's
you what percentage.
I'm
telling you what percentage of Republicans in the state actually show up and vote.
In the district. But yes.
In the district. I'm sorry, the district.
It's okay. Just that person today.
Did you come up with a number yet?
Yeah, it's actually 0.002.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did that in my mind. My Ashkenazi Jewish brain cells working simultaneous with broadcasting, unique skill. All right,
well,
so.
Can I say one other thing? What? That if there's like one mega church in the D.C. area, they could have just shifted the whole outcome of that primary.
Don't get me going on the mega churches like Andy Stanley and Creflo Dollar could have done in Georgia.
Yeah.
But we won't mention Andy Stanley or Creflo Dollar. I don't want to get in controversy. Okay. Let's talk about Dr. Phil. Video 10. Dr. Phil on Bill Maher. Dr. Phil's been all over
Dr.
the place
Phil
lately.
Bill Maher was good.
He was on The View. He was on Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. His agent. I need that agent. Mm. You know what I get? I got a fake invitation from Lex Fiedman.
Yeah, well, that's a scam happening now.
Hey, Lex, if it was real, I'm sorry. I'm not showing up. I thought it was fake.
Yeah, basically, as you wrestle with your earpiece there. Yeah, they messaged the Facebook, the actual like help desk, and we're like, hey, we'd like to interview. This
yeah,
is Lex,
yeah. You
blah,
know,
blah, blah, blah.
I go look him up. I said, hey, he's good. He's got a million. Has Elon Musk on. He's had, okay, a million views per. I'll do it. I'll fly in. What does he want me to do? Found out it's a scam.
Just to get to your Facebook page.
Just to get access to my Facebook page. By the way, go to Facebook, and you can see 1 million subscribers. Mm-hmm.
Or watch us every day on the podcast.
Watch us every day on the podcast. LanceWellNow.com/podcast. You can get this stimulation every day, lovey. All right, let's go. You guys, are you ready yet? I'm covering for the producer. You guys got video 10?
But and a lot of your book is about stuff that we share in common. The idea that wokeness, which started out as a great thing, alert to injustice, all down for that, and it morphed into something else.
Yeah,
and
weaponized.
Now, and now it's where common sense goes to die.
Right. And I think somebody needs to call that out. But people, the percentage of people that are unwilling to speak out and say what they think has tripled since 1950. People just say, it's easier just not to say anything.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's coming at a very high cost if we allow our narrative in America to be hijacked by these fringe factions on either end, either tail of the distribution here. And you know I'm not political. You try to sucker me into being political, well, but I'm not political.
And I'm going to... And I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again because I don't because I don't think you can. What you're trying to do, I don't think you can do it without being political. You're trying to divorce these issues from politics, and you can't because they're intimately involved with politics, and you can't avoid politics. You talk a lot about this kind of woke stuff, which I do too, and I get it. But I also attack the other side equally. I didn't see that as much. I mean, what Trump is doing with the rule of law, I know you say in your book you're no big fan of Biden. That's as political as you'll get. Well, a lot of people aren't, but I have what I call the blue liquid doctrine. Do you know what that is?
No.
If it's Trump against Biden, I will vote for Biden's head in a jar of blue liquid.
I don't know what that means.
And that tells you that basically Bill Maher's head is in a jar of blue liquid.
that's a weird example.
But which basically means that he's so ideal. I could go over to that board, my classic glass whiteboard, and show you the structure of a stronghold, according to the Greek construct of what the Apostle Paul speaks of in the New Testament. It's a three-level power that goes over your head. At the first level, it's just an opinion. It's an opinion. You know, I think this, I think that. At the second level, it gets a little more intense. You begin to develop a belief system. Now, the belief system is being told what data to link together to make a case. And if you're not careful, you go to the third level, and that's when you get zombified. You develop a conviction. Now you go from evaluating the facts to being someone who doesn't have an idea. An idea has them. The moment the idea has you, you now see everything through the lens of race. You see it all through the lens of gender. You see it all through the lens of gay or oppression or Marxism. The only safety valve is to develop a love of the truth and a disposition of humility, which is a regular habit of recognizing you don't know everything and you're constantly learning something that reminds you that you just might be holding something as a conviction. You ought to bump down to a belief, and a belief you maybe should move to an opinion, and maybe you should be examining your opinions. Mercedes, you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to bring up something that you've been saying a lot recently, which is, and I don't know who said this to you, but this idea that these aren't political issues, like Bill's trying to make the point. These are political issues. I don't know how you get away from these political issues. And the point is, Bill, they're not political. They're moral issues. Many of the issues we're debating in society today, these are moral issues that have been weaponized and turned into political issues. And so it's, you have to flip it on its head and say, wait a minute, this abortion was moral way before it became political, you know, and likewise, like how we handle illegal immigration, you know, we have rule of law here. We have, you know, I've been doing all this ancestry research. I watched how my ancestors came over, all documented. I could go back and see it. I could see when they came over. I have that as a legacy. These people don't even have that because we don't know who's coming in. And a lot of times it's not even like, I know cartels are moving people, trafficking people. Those are moral issues.
Anyway. Life, gender. Who has the right to indoctrinate your 11-year-old child and basically mentally, what's the word I'm looking for? What does a pedophile do?
They molest children.
Do you realize that molestation can happen mentally and not physically? You know how you do that? You take a child who is not questioning their gender and you plug into their brain the fact that they may be a little boy in a girl's body or a girl in a boy's body, create the question when it's not organically coming from them, plant it as an accusation or a suggestion, have it reinforced by their peer group or celebrated, give them some degree of mental anxiety or some stress problem or some psychological disorder that they're trying to work through and hormonally and chemically grow up at the same time. And what you've done is you have set the hook in the mouth of a child, and the parent is trusting the teacher not to do that, and the teacher is stalking the vulnerable child in the class. Mm-hmm. Tell me, is that a political issue or a moral issue? Bill Maher, exactly. Your point is well taken. Bill says all these things are political. No, they're not. All these things are moral issues, and some of them end up falling into the purview of being legislative morality, which you might have an obligation to resist. And history shows when that happens. But I'll tell you what the problem is. It's people like Bill Maher. I got 1 minute and 21 seconds. So I want you to listen to two white dudes who will tell you the real problem in America is white rural voters. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The two guys talking are white coastal liberals. Almost 90% of the problem in America is white people Only it's progressive liberals with too much money who live on the coast. Watch this.
Joining us now, Professor of Political Science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Tom Schaller.
Maryland again.
And journalist and opinion writer Paul Waldman. Their new book, out tomorrow, is entitled White Rural Rage, the Threat to American Democracy. And Tom, I'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or their bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So you mentioned a lot of negative factors about this demographic.
All right, stop it right there. We only got 37 seconds here. I want to say something. Every single factor that he lists is a matter of how you skew the language of what you're talking about. So they're xenophobic. Why? Because they're really against all these illegals coming into the country. So they're going to be called xenophobes. They don't trust the press or COVID. Yeah, no kidding. We think the election was stolen. We don't have a trust for any of the institutions, including the big pharmacies and the spike protein data.
Yeah.
They're Christian nationalists. No, they happen to be patriotic. They're fighting your wars for you. They are the working middle class that fight for you. And so at every level, what you're seeing here is data that is skewed in terms of the language of its meeting. Oh, and they're homophobic. No, they happen to disagree with LGBTQ ideology, and they support heterosexuality as the normative way of building a functioning family and community. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, that's not just the United States. You want? I guess you're going to go over and pick your fight with every other country in the world that doesn't go as woke as us. Mm-hmm. They all have a lot in common with that threat. So all of this stuff, but if it's Maryland and if it's academic, it's actually liberal. And it's actually progressive.
Ironically, a good chunk of those 15 years ago would have been progressive liberals. You don't trust big pharma. You don't trust big corporations. They don't trust elections. I mean, that literally was the left, like when George Bush won. You know, I'm talking about like 15, 20 years ago. So it's like now we're labeling
it. I hear you. Listen, I don't know what we're going to cut out of the show. We're 57 seconds over for
but for the podcast,
we're going to keep it going. But I got to end it for Real America's Voice.
We're going to have to come back in. I just wanted to say one other thing, too. I'm going to throw this point in there, okay? Is that when I was doing all this ancestry research, back on the 1900 census, it literally has this question, did you fight in the Civil War? And like, yes, no, and if so, what side? And I just had this realization that after the Civil War, okay, we had to figure out how to live together again. We had to come back together again. And so I think of that now as we're kind of like escalating in this intensity that at the end of the day, I love what you talked about with the opinion, the belief, and the conviction is that we really need to try to speak reason. And at some point, we're all going to have to live together again. I mean, like, whatever escalates to, we're all going to have to come together and try to figure out America again. So anyways, I know it's a random thought, but I wanted to throw it in there.
No, I appreciate that. I'm glad you said that. And that's going to be the end of our show right now for the Real America Voice broadcast segment. And we're looking forward to seeing you again on our podcast on a daily basis. Go to lancemiller.com/podcast, and you can catch this dialogue for 28 minutes every day and be the best informed person at lunch. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0. Not only that, for a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Lance to save big on all of Mike's best products. That's promo code Lance. Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.